Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Rachel Maddow went off on how much she loves Joy Reid and went off on the hosts or the management at MSNBC and NBC News. Mm-hmm. And she claims racism because the people that were fired were people of color. However, there's a little wrinkle to this plan. Roll it.
In all of the jobs I have had, in all of the years I have been alive, there is no colleague for whom I have had more affection and more respect than Joy Reid. I love everything about her.
Why?
I have learned so much from her. I have so much more to learn from her. I do not want to lose her as a colleague here at MSNBC. And personally, I think it is a bad mistake to let her walk out the door. It is not my call, and I understand that. But that's what I think. I will tell you, it is also unnerving to see that on a network where we've got two, count them, two non-white hosts in primetime, both of our non-white hosts in primetime are losing their shows, as is Katie Fang on the weekend. And that feels worse than bad, no matter who replaces them. That feels indefensible, and I do not defend it.
You know, it's amazing. The only racism I ever pick up on from MSNBC is towards white individuals. As far as, you know, Trump is Hitler, white people are the devil, toxic white male masculinity. And to my knowledge, now I've never watched this individual's show, is Alex, first of all, who is Alex Wagner? Is that a man or a woman?
It's a woman.
Is she white or black?
She's not white, I believe. I'm not sure what ethnicity she is, but she's not white.
So Rachel Maddow implying that Lester Holt, which falls technically under the same umbrella, Comcast, NBC, Universal, not white, Joy Reid and Katie Fang from Weekends. So all of this was racially driven, not ratings driven, not revenue driven, not based on what their salaries are, but this, that race was a, I will make the most bold proclamation I can ever make. Empty out your 401ks on this one.
Her mother is from Myanmar.
No, I've never even heard of that place. Okay. But anywho, if Joy Reid had the highest ratings on the network, Joy Reid not only would still be employed today, Joy Reid would probably make as much, if not more, than Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
There's zero doubt in my mind.
Agreed.
But when you lose so much of your audience, which that network has, and nobody's lost a bigger piece of the pie than her, I mean, she's making a couple, she's actually relatively, quote, underpaid by some of these standards. I think Joy Reid's salary was around $2 to $3 million. I saw, she, according to Newsweek, she's making $3 million per year, which is $17 million less than Rachel Maddow. But you know what? Rachel Maddow, for whatever you think of her, she gets the best ratings, I think, on the network.
She definitely does. There's no question.
So, you know.
I just wonder with Rachel Maddow if she, I know she does other things, but will they either utilize her more? I if her contract's up, she's out.
Utilize her more? No, she's only back.
She's only doing Mondays.
She's only back for 5 days a week for the first 100 days of President Trump's second term.
Yeah, so all these changes are going to go into effect allegedly on April, at the end of April.
Yeah. After the first 100 days.
I think even Rachel would be out if her contract was up. And not for any other reason than I think really they're just trying to, you know, liquidate.
So it's interesting that Rachel Maddow's claiming racism and Joy Reid's not.
Well, I mean, she probably has a clause in her contract. You all do. We all do. That says you can't disparage the company after. You know,
she signed an NDA, yeah, Greg, right?
Yes, I mean, if we all did too. If you want your payout, you will not say anything bad about MSNBC or NBC News, which is why when the three of us are let go, we will be saying, "Oh, we loved everybody at 1210 WPHT."
You'll see me at
that's,
a local.
That's our family. We
I'll
love
be
them.
Working at a local liquor store, bagging your booze.
I'll say, would you like your eggs over easy?
I'm going to go do a podcast with Candace Owens and get to the bottom of Macron's wife. Speaking of Macron.
By the way, I would actually pay a subscription-based fee to see you host a podcast with Candace on it. I paid, I don't know, $12 a month for that.
The big subject yesterday with Macron in the Oval Office was Ukraine, because, you know, Trump has said that there is a deal being worked on right now between Ukraine and Russia. Let's start with that. That's cut 11, Phil.
It looks like we're getting very close. The deal's being worked on. We're, I think, getting very close to getting an agreement where we get our money back over a period of time. But it also gives us something where I think it's very beneficial to their economy, to them as a country. But, you know, we're in for $350 billion. How we got there, I don't know. But that's a lot of money, a lot of money invested, and we had nothing to show for it. And it was the Biden administration's fault. The Europeans are in for about $100 billion, and they do it in the form of a loan. And the Europeans have been great on this issue. They understood it wasn't fair, and we were able to work something out. But with the Ukrainians, I think I can say that we're very close. Scott's around here someplace. And I think we can say that we're very... Hi, Scott. I think we're very close. Do you have something to say about that, Scott?
We are very close.
All right. Then this is cut 15. Macron corrects Trump after he claims Europe is loaning the money to Ukraine.
Okay.
Because that's the big... Hang on one second, Phil. Just one second. Start it over. That's the big... So we sent them a grant.
Right. Which means you don't have to pay it back.
And then they, the EU, the European Union, sent loans, right? Okay, so they have to say, but that's what we've been told.
Okay.
That creep Macron
says that's not true.
Says that's not true.
Okay.
Roll it.
But not by Ukraine, by Russia, because they were the ones to aggress.
Again, just so you understand, Europe is loaning the money to Ukraine. They get their money back.
No, in fact, to be frank, we paid. We paid 60% of the total default. And it was through, like the US, loans, guarantee, grants, and we provided real money, to be clear. We have 230 billion frozen assets in Europe, Russian assets, but this is not as a collateral of a loan, because this is not our belonging. So they are frozen. If at the end of the day, in the negotiation we will have with Russia, they're ready to give it to us.
Russia.
Super. It will be loan at the end of the day, and Russia would have paid for that.
If you this believe that, it's okay with me.
So Bridget's younger half is claiming it's part loan, part grant. I mean, I guess we're getting into the weeds here.
Emmanuel, I suggest you shut it.
You know, if you just
zip it, baby.
I understand.
Don't correct President Trump.
It's a complicated issue. But if you just look at it from a 30,000-foot macro view, think about this as far as peace and who wants it. Trump wants peace, right? Trump's anti-war. Putin probably would love to just steamroll and have finished off Ukraine 2 years ago. But of course, Biden, you know, kept this thing alive by funding Ukraine. But Putin's probably like, all right, Trump's back in office. I certainly don't want to anger Trump. So let's get a deal done. And of course, I would like to have the better half of the deal, because, you know, without the U.S.'s involvement, Ukraine would have been like a smashed grape under my boot. And Ukraine is the one that doesn't seem to want to adhere to whatever Trump and Putin are proposing or negotiating. Putin Zelensky saying, you know, if I was guaranteed peace, I resign today. Zelensky has the most to lose in all of this, right? Because if the war were to continue in theory, America would continue to fund this in theory, right? Like if Biden was, you know, in office still, or Harris won the election, or if Trump was willing to keep funding a war and was pro-war. So the guy that loses the most is a guy that, you know, canceled elections, installed martial law, and has scooped up billions upon billions of dollars. Zelensky's the guy that I think is the biggest stubborn factor here in this triangle of peace, in my eyes. And that's not to say that you're pro-Putin or anything like that, but this is a guy who has benefited tremendously since this thing started 3 years and 2 days ago.
So Trump, in acknowledging the third anniversary or commemoration of the Russia-Ukraine war, he emphasizes the importance of the vital critical minerals and rare earths deal between the U.S. and Ukraine, and he says it's an important economic partnership. He wants something for all of the money that Biden gave to Zelensky. And then he goes on to say that ensures the American people recoup the tens of billions of dollars and military equipment sent to Ukraine while also helping Ukraine's economy grow as this brutal and savage war comes to an end. He also says he's in serious discussions with President Vladimir Putin of Russia concerning the ending of the war. Also, major economic development transactions, which will take place between the U.S. and Russia. Talks are proceeding very well.
You think this thing's wrapped
Donald
up?
Donald J. Trump.
You think this thing is wrapped up before Rachel Maddow goes back to one day a week?
I do. Yeah. I think this is a done deal.
I think we're close. I think at some point, I think in March. I think March will be the month.
And then we will see and hear the stories of what Trump has been talking about for a long time, which is the casualties here.
Yep.
I mean, it's bad.
By the way, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, thank you. And also make sure you hit the follow button to 1210 WPHT. You'll get all our alerts whenever we send them out. We didn't send one out this morning, but we will send one out later. We usually send them out in the morning. If you want those, please hit the follow button. We won't spam you, don't worry. But it helps us out a lot. So make sure you hit the follow button if you're listening right now on the Odyssey app. Vivek Ramaswamy officially announces that he's running for governor of Ohio. This is Cut 18. Roll it. Audio, please.
Ramaswamy.
Audio. Do we have audio?
Is there
audio?
This is his home state.
By the way, this is the best Vivek's ever sounded.
Is there no audio on this?
He has a crowd behind him, and he's talking especially about education and reforming public education, and he wants to be a leader in the nation for leading what public education should look like and making it great again.
All right, okay. So Mike DeWine is termed out, I believe, correct? So is Vivek considered, and I probably should have looked this up, is he considered not only the front runner for the Republican nomination, but also the odds-on favorite to win the state? I mean, I don't know a Democrat off the top of my head in Ohio that I would think would even be close to being the front runner. Should actually have to look at these candidates.
Well, remember when this was all going down, Vivek left Doge, and there were all those rumors about that. Then he says, I want to go to my home state of Ohio, run for governor. And reportedly Trump was trying to influence the current Ohio governor, Mike DeWine, to try to make him lieutenant governor, but that did not happen. DeWine chose his own guy to be lieutenant governor.
Which, by the way, maybe we have to revisit since Elon Musk has been such a big part of the news. I mean, we could sit here and talk about, you know, Vivek's goal and maybe, you know, being the Ohio governor carries more stroke politically for your career than working side by side with Elon with Doge. But, you know, there was also the theory out there that Vivek and Elon kind of had a little bit of a separation. Mm-hmm. And then also you've got Elon out there, and some people say that he's going a little faster than Trump would like. Elon Musk, a pain in the ass?
Well, I will say Trump and Elon Musk yesterday were very quick to endorse Vivek. And Trump put out on True Social yesterday that Vivek is young, strong, and smart, was very complimentary. So full endorsement there.
Yeah. Well, if he wins that election, he would be out of the picture in 2028 then.
Serendipity on Twitter writes, why would Rachel Maddow speak so highly of Joy Reid when it's well known that Reid made homophobic remarks on a social media account, was called out for it, denied it, saying her account had been hacked, it wasn't, and finally apologized in an on-air emotional meltdown. Maddow is gay, and it's hard to believe she'd forgive anyone on the right for disparaging gays as Reid did, apology or not. It's a very good point.
That is a good point. Joy does have a history of bigotry.
She does.
Yeah. Interesting when you get on that soapbox and you preach about racism and hatred and bigotry, and you have a 15-year rap sheet.
Richard Notaro writes, for all Rachel Madcow's outrage, I noticed she didn't resign in protest of the alleged racist actions by her employer. Well, that's the point I made, is that she holds a lot of stroke. And again, she has a contract. She might not be able to do certain things. She might not be able to resign. But I believe that she holds enough stroke there that she could have held them up, held the bosses at MSNBC up if she really cared that much and been like, you need to do this or when contract negotiations come, I'm going to your competitor or whatever, and I'm going to bury you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing I did with Phil Omquist. I mean, I threw a hissy fit for months behind the scenes, months, told Stocker, give him the extra dollar an hour for the video, or I will resign. And then Greg bent the knee, and he said, all right, Phil, here's the dollar.
I'd bend the knee to nobody. Thank you.
I'm difficult to deal with.
This way.
I'm very
That is true. That's absolutely true. You brought this up earlier, Brian, not Brian, Don Lemon. I was going to say Brian Lemon. Don Lemon went on his show and discussed the outrage over Megyn Kelly telling the Philadelphia Eagles to go F themselves, right? Mm. Because she reported that news falsely on Twitter, where it lives forever. And he then went on to, he was mad because she was mean to Joy Reid. And it's racist, I guess, because Megyn Kelly is mean to Joy Reid.
Right, because she's white and she's black, so it's automatic racist by default.
All right, gird your loins, everyone, because here is Don.
Don, Lemon. You better keep your mouth closed.
Here's Don Lemon, roll it.
So let me just say to Megyn Kelly, in my 30-some years as a journalist and my 50-some years as a person of color, go F yourself.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Hang on.
Go F yourself. Okay.
Takes a sip of, swig of coffee.
I usually don't like to talk about her because she's one of those people, she thrives on it. She has built the second part of whatever of her career on being a troll. So this is what Megyn Kelly said about Joy Reid, right? And remember, Joy Reid is a woman. Megyn Kelly is a woman. She's supposed to be all about women and, you know, supports women. Okay, so this is what she said. Remember when Joy Reid laughingly mocked white women's tears as pathetic and offensive to her? Who's crying now, Joy? Good riddance to the absolute worst person on television, and shame on NBC for letting it go on this long. And she has a, you know, she is an axe to grind when it comes to MSNBC. And also, she, you know, this whole, she's racist, right? It's just, I'm going to give you the evidence.
I hope you don't get sued.
Yeah.
Defamation there, pal.
Supposedly learned from it and then spent every day after apologizing for it and being fired for it, then spent every day proving the point that she is a racist.
Wow. That's a strong claim.
You know, and not very supportive of women. If you look, all you have to do, the evidence is in her Google search.
Right.
And what she says about women, how she calls them out all the time.
Why does Don have to pause for 8 seconds at a time when I think his clip is done? And then he starts talking again.
By the way,
to reboot his prompter, which he runs himself.
The worst person. No, Megyn Kelly. The worst person on television was fired from NBC in the Today Show a few years ago, and that's Megyn Kelly. That's the worst person who's not on television anymore.
No, that would be you.
Don's internet's bad. What is he doing?
That's the worst person who's not on television.
Come on, Don.
He pauses for effect.
For that.
It's a TV
NBC
trick.
NBC did something good with that.
Right, Don?
Mm-hmm.
You know why? I like to give proof of things, evidence. Like when I said Donald Trump, the president of the United States, was racist, it wasn't my opinion. This isn't my opinion about Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence is there. I'm going to show you the evidence of Megyn Kelly, and that's just as I showed you the evidence of Donald Trump.
There you go.
Okay.
By the way,
still waiting for the evidence.
By the way, like Megyn Kelly knows a thing or two about being let go. Mm-hmm. She was let go from Fox. Mm-hmm. She was let go from NBC. If anybody's gonna, you know, able to talk about being fired, mm-hmm. it should be her.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to
cancel. Whatever
maybe it's maybe it was just Don Lemon ticking me off. But you know what? This whole concept of other media members calling out other media members for trying to be noticed. And then labeling them trolls. Now, I guess in theory, you have trolls that are Democrat and Republican, whether they're on MSNBC or Fox or anything in between, right? But isn't that the objective of being a media member with a platform and a microphone and a camera? Don't you want to be noticed? Because actually, you know what? Joy Reid was not being noticed, as in nobody gave a rip what she had to say. Nobody tuned in. So, and I, you know, I take shots at some of the right-wing trolls, but you know what? That's what their goal is. They're trying to get clicks. They're trying to get downloads. They're trying to get views. They're trying to be compensated for the frequency in which you, the consumer, consumes them. So I'm actually not really into the trolling thing, but I'm going to back off of those, the shots that I take at those that kind of I feel like are troll, because at the end of the day, that's their objective. Now, I would argue a real troll is like a Don that I had to deal with last Friday on Twitter with 40 numbers behind his character who wanted to call me a bigot, which, by the way, as far as Don Lemon calling Megyn Kelly racist, read the room, Don. NBC had to cough up $30 million in defamation. ABC, CBS.
Yeah.
You can't just call and I'm not defending Megyn Kelly here, and I torched her in the first hour for getting her Eagles thing wrong with the White House. But I will defend her here in this regard. You can't just say somebody else is racist without possible repercussions. Now, I understand that, you know, defamation and slander and libel are difficult to prove in a court of law, but we're seeing a lot of court cases where people are making claims that are absolutely false, and then they have to pony up the dough. So I would just say this as a public service announcement to anybody in any walk of life. Before you call somebody a racist, you might want to have verifiable receipts, because in theory, that person could sue the daylights out of you, and I guarantee you, you're going to back off of your trolling on your keyboard then.
This TikToker, I'm sorry, Don, were you going to say something?
Nope.
This TikToker, this is why people need to stop
what
putting their thoughts on TikTok. So she, first of all, she calls for Elon Musk to be assassinated, which right there needs
death
to,
threat.
You know, death threat. But she also admits that she hasn't filed taxes in 8 years.
Oh, boy.
Like eight?
8 years. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And by the way, this clip went around. They tagged the FBI, and the FBI was like, thank you, we're on this. duly noted.
I actually have an IRS tax story personally myself for you after this clip.
Be careful.
This is hilarious. Where do you hear this?
Cut 20, Phil, go.
I promised myself I would avoid the news. But obviously I haven't. Here's my one thought. I mean, I have many thoughts. Elon Musk.
Oh, God.
Like, we need to X him. And by X, I mean formerly known as assassination.
Wow.
Really?
She's stable.
I know someone from FBI is going to f*** Joe Biden. Arrest me.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't have enough people to even investigate me at this point. Sure. I haven't filed my taxes in, like, 8 years.
She might.
And yet, no one's covered me. So, I'm going to say it. Let's assassinate some.
Wow. So these people are insane.
You go
is
on
she
social...
drunk at work?
Yeah.
Stuff? Like,
she's mentally
oh my
ill. She's disturbed. Look at the glasses. Look at the eyes.
Shape says, hey, guys, she's single. Sorry, Nick.
Can you imagine going on social media saying you want to assassinate Elon Musk? And, oh, by the way, to throw the icing on the cake, I haven't paid taxes in a decade.
Yeah. She's obviously.
There was.
I have no proof, but in my opinion, she's mentally unhinged.
I think I found that yesterday. I think that was one of the things I sent to you. But there was a politician. A U.S. district attorney for the DOJ that quote tweeted her video.
Uh oh.
And said, thanks for the heads up. We will be investigating.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, good for her.
There's a U.S. federal prosecutor. I forget his name. You could probably find it if you can find that video, because I found the video on Twitter, even though it originated from TikTok. So, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, but by the way, the IRS story, though, I once owed $9.27.
Yep.
And I got 2 years worth of notifications that were being delivered to my old residence when finally I got a phone call asking if I was ready to settle. 2.5 years later, for $9.27.
Wow.
So I told the feds they could just charge my card $10 and keep the change. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Right? $9.27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I think we should. I think we should end the cut sheet there.
Yeah,
and then come back and get a Dawn Stensland big three.
All right, big three on the other side.
A while since we've done news.
It has been, and then also a little reprieve from the world of news and politics. A little health, technology, lifestyle for you. Did you know that you can take a short little break from your smartphone, and that will boost your mood and your mental health? Shocking.
Wow.
We'll give you the details of the study.
Who'd have thunk it?
In a little bit. Back after this on Kale and Company.
Yeah, you know what else can boost your mood? Go for a test drive in that luxury car, Piazza vehicle that you've been dreaming of, right? I'm talking about the extensive selection. I love what he's having. Extensive selection at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. Really combining luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you are going to find that luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Just schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz, or just shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. Go to PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Robert Half, this Tuesday morning, February 25th, number one, ice in Kennett Square. No, not that kind of ice, because after all, it's 60 degrees is the high today. I'm talking about federal officers, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. We're getting some new details about a worksite enforcement operation carried out in Chester County, Kennett Square. Federal officials confirming three employees who were working in the United States illegally were arrested at Chavo's Tires in Kennett Square, and this happened this past Friday. So we're getting the details, the deets on this. One of the employees reportedly does have a criminal history, so there is apparently assault is one of the accusations or convictions of one of those illegal guys. So those federal, we're getting the word from the feds, from ICE. They say that they received information, a tip, that the auto shop was hiring illegals and could be involved with, quote, labor exploitation. And so now there is a continuing and ongoing investigation, a probe into the business operations at the car wash, and as well the other allegations that there's some kind of a exploitation or human trafficking situation.
Wow, so this is now the second time you have reported on an ICE development. We had the, what, North Philly car wash, and there was, what, seven individuals?
Yes.
I believe? Okay.
Yes, and yep. So that was in East Hunting Park, or excuse me, on East Hunting Park Avenue, and that was last month that I reported that, and that was at Complete Auto Wash. And so initially, just to point out here that initially there were people in the community in Philadelphia who said that the situation at Complete Auto Wash, that was these employees, these illegals, did not have criminal histories. Then we heard the pushback that, in fact, some of those employees may have actually been victimized by somebody who was taking advantage of folks that are illegals. Now we're hearing more as far as this one out in Kennett Square. Are they related?
Oh.
I don't have that information. These are my questions. Are they related? Is the real investigation going towards some kind of a human trafficking or one of these slavery type things where these individuals are being brought over vis-a-vis the cartels who then force these individuals to work for basically nothing to do slave labor?
Does MSNBC report on that type of slavery?
They don't.
No, interesting.
They don't.
Just the slavery from hundreds of years ago they talk about.
Yes, sir. So that's okay. That's that piece of it that we're hearing about. I will also take you to the story of we have an update on Rudy Giuliani that I haven't talked about him a lot. Remember that Rudy Giuliani was embroiled in this whole situation with being sued for defamation. You made me think of it because you were talking about Don Lemon saying horrible things about, you know, Meghan, that she is somehow, she's this racist, known racist, and this is a fact, and pretty strong language there. For Rudy Giuliani, the headline here is that he has, as of last night, he satisfied the Fulton County election workers defamation case. The ruling was for $148 million. So I don't know that he paid them the full amount because they were in a negotiation, a back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But the jury, remember, and this was the Atlantic case, they had Giuliani was found liable in 2023 for defaming these two women, Ruby Freeman, Shea Moss, by falsely accusing them of tampering with the presidential vote in Georgia. And so they finally, they had reached a settlement. This has gone back and forth in the courts. And so at this point, he was in court yesterday, and court documents show the settlement action was dismissed in district court yesterday after it was determined Giuliani had fully satisfied the obligations to the two women.
There was a picture of him over the weekend on social media grocery shopping in what looked to be either a motorized scooter or some sort of disabled type, not a wheelchair, but something else. Is he wheelchair bound, or am I missing something?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, maybe he just was feeling a little lazy and didn't want to walk around. Got the motorized cart. I've thought about doing that myself personally.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So the settlement last month allowed him to keep his condo in Florida as well as his World Series rings.
His World Series rings. By the way, how would he ever even have the capability of paying $148 million?
I think it's all about a settlement.
Yeah.
I really, because they're not saying whether, I don't know that he actually fulfilled the $148 million. You have to be able to prove that you gave everything you could give. I really think that's the bottom line. What I'm looking through that.
Mm-hmm.
His attorney, Ted Goodman, was quoted as saying that they can never take away Rudy's extraordinary record of public service. So that was.
I tell you, time goes by fast. Remember when he was beloved across the country 25 years ago, right around 9/11?
America's mayor.
Yep. Back when the Yankees were winning World Series and Phil was happy. Aw.
By the way, number three for our big three, I'll go with this one. It's a story that I haven't reported this morning. And the headline in the Inquirer is that SEPTA is launching its first buses with armored compartments.
Uh-oh.
For the operators.
Oh, I thought maybe as a customer you could store your Glock in your seat or something.
No, because some of our SEPTA bus drivers, remember, I mean, they've been victimized and shot and so on and so forth. So we have in the headlines, and this is just this morning, that a local SWAT team actually is going to test the bullet-resistant compartments.
Mm.
This is the state of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
That it will be, if it's not already, this is going to make national headlines. It's so bad in Philadelphia, .. fill in the blank, that our bus drivers have to have bulletproof compartments to drive a SEPTA bus.
Well, yeah, and I feel bad for those individuals. But, I mean, are we at the point now where the SEPTA driver is going to have to be in, like, an incubated bulletproof chamber, so to speak?
Yes. That's what they're testing.
Where you can't try to physically assault them, grab the steering wheel, shoot at them, steal their purse or wallet. I mean, really? They're doing you, the schlub, who can't afford a car, a service at a very discounted rate, and their lives have to be in jeopardy. And they're like Doritos at a convenience store on the West Coast where we have to now put them in a locked glass case because people want to steal them.
Basically.
Yeah. Great.
I mean, that's basically what this is, that they're so, you know, that these bus operators and their quote, the union had put out after, remember the bus operator, Bernard Gribben, he was shot to death while driving in his morning route in Philadelphia's Germantown section.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this? It happened in the fall of 2023. And I think that was the last straw. The union said, we are under fire. And so now literally this morning, I believe it's a Bucks County SWAT team. They're going to test out. They're going to be shooting at the windshield or what have you to make sure that it's actually.
What a great ad.
I know.
Wow. What a great commercial for public transportation.
and for Philadelphia. Yeah.
All right. When I'm the mayor of Philadelphia and I snap the Republican streak about 25 years from now, my first law that I will enact that will be passed, if you commit a felony on SEPTA, it's punishable by death.
I like it.
You like it?
I love it.
You will get.
Can I run on that?
Tons of support.
Can I do better than David O?
And the other half will call you racist.
Okay.
So you'll be doing everything right.
Fobbed off.
Fobbed off, yes.
The only one this is good for is Custom Glass Solutions, the company. I'm sending Phil just in case we want it at some point. Custom Glass Solutions, they have the, this is their company where they create this for the safety of whatever, your bulletproof vehicle.
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess that's the only, they got the account. So congratulations, unfortunately, for us. Robert Half is our sponsor. 9 out of 10 hiring managers having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. That is your big three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, our final story of the day, and it pertains to your mood and your mental health. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Last story of the day, thought this was pretty interesting, comes from NPR, of all places. Taking even a short break from your smartphone can boost your mood after studies reveal that researchers found out that 91% of those who blocked, now this is an interesting way to frame it, block the internet from their smartphone for just 2 weeks and turned out and tuned out, it ended up being 91% felt better after the break. They said what we found was that people had better mental health, better subjective well-being, and better sustained attention spans. Adrian Ward, psychologist at the University of Texas at Austin, Matthew McConaughey's school. The researchers included 467 participants ranging from 18 to 74 years old, and they found out that more than 90% of Americans actually do own a smartphone. What's funny, as a little sidebar here, our contracts are up, or contracts, that's the data terminology, but my wife and my daughters and I, we have AT&T, and we're eligible for like the upgraded, you know, smartphone. And so I was looking, you know, there's the iPhone, there's the Samsung Galaxy, there's the Google Pixel, and that's pretty much all that exists anymore. But on the AT&T website, at the bottom, they actually have, for $75, you can still purchase an old-school flip phone. Like one without social media or apps on it. All you can do is call and text on it. There's not even a spot for email on it. I might actually get that. Swear to God.
Yeah, I would love to. If it wasn't for this job, honestly, I would.
Well, I've said that for years. As soon as I'm done with this job.
Is it just us making excuses, though?
No.
Is it like, because everybody has jobs.
Yes, but I think there's a physical addiction. I think the smartphone is as much of a vice as alcohol, as drugs, as cigarettes, as gambling.
Agreed.
Right?
We won't disagree on anything you just said.
I mean, there's a physical, they've done studies on the chemical dependence in your brain. What's the term? Is it not endorphins? There's something else that gets released in your brain that satisfies your urge when you're scrolling and swiping. I swear. You can read about it. It's a true study.
You're right.
There's this, like, something in your brain where once you post something on social media, there's a craving to go back and see what people said in response to your post, which is why Greg says stay the hell off of Twitter. But this individual, Ward, who is 38, says, I remember a dial-up connection in my home as a kid. In those days, the internet only lived in a single room in your house. You used it at specific times when you were allotted a spot or when you were no longer on the landline. Because if you remember back in the day before DSL and cable modems, dial-up internet, you couldn't use the house phone, right?
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid fighting with my sister in 1999 and 2000. I'm like, Aaron, can you get off the phone? I want to go on AOL Instant Messenger. And I wanted to chat with my buddies. Before there was texting and social media, remember you'd have AIM and you'd have a screen name.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have all these conversations.
Of course.
So 2 weeks. Now, here's the question. Can any of us actually, short of being on vacation, and I know I can't even do it when I'm on vacation, could any of you disconnect legitimately for 2 weeks?
Yes.
You could turn your phone off, put it in your nightstand for 14 days and never go back to it.
100%. 100%. I try and do it on the weekends. If you guys notice, I'm not quick to respond on the weekends. Like, I do it on the weekends.
So how? Let me ask you, do you put your phone in a certain spot? Do you not have it on you, or do you just don't look at it?
I turn it off.
You legitimately power the phone off?
I do.
Wow. The the furthest I will go is when I go to bed, I swipe down and I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Meaning,
well, my phone's always on Do Not Disturb. It really is.
That's a given.
Yeah, it's always on Do Not Disturb.
Wow.
When I do yard work, there's something about my yard. Even if I have my phone and my yoga pants, doing the yard work.
Tell us more.
I know. I'll be out there today.
Slowly. Slowly. Sorry.
But seriously, I don't get service all the time.
Yeah.
And so
don't need service.
I need service.
But even when people are doing activities and they're not technically on the phone, yeah. A lot of people have their earbuds in because they're listening to music, which is coming from their phone. Right.
Well, that's the one thing is that, like, yes, all my music and all that stuff is on my phone.
Right.
So I love listening to music. I'm reading a book right now by Lorne Michaels, and it's on my iPad.
Yeah.
So yes, I do need that stuff for, you know, I guess I could just buy CDs. Phil has a CD collection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't do any streaming.
Right.
So. I guess I could do that, but it's just so convenient to have all your music right there.
If we were to go through what the phone has become, it's our phone, it's our computer,
yep.
It's our payment system, because a lot of you have Apple Pay or the Venmo app, or you use digital currency and you just scan. My wife at Giant is out there scanning at the grocery store because she has the debit card from Citizens Bank on the phone.
Yeah.
So it's also your jukebox or your CD player.
Jukebox.
I mean, the phone has taken over 8 industries.
You're so old.
You're such an old soul. I love that.
It's your jukebox.
It's your Napster. It's your LimeWire. It's your 8-track. It's your cassette deck. Right? I mean, we don't even use... Remember when we first had GPS created where you could go on, like, MapQuest.com and you could print out directions?
Yeah.
You don't even need to do that anymore because you have the Google Maps on your phone.
Yep.
This is the most valuable device, yet also the most...
Addictive.
Addictive, well, infuriating, dehumanizing device.
I mean, one is the reason for the other. You know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
Like, they've made it like that, and we've allowed it. And everybody, you cannot walk down the street. You cannot walk down the hall. You cannot walk anywhere without somebody looking at their phone.
Yes.
You cannot. It's impossible.
It's also become a mask to cover up your social awkwardness.
Agreed.
Because if you don't want to walk by a coworker, what do when you don't want to make eye contact? You grab your phone and all of a sudden you're walking down the hall like this.
Yep.
My old boss used to do that. Like, he was curing cancer as he was walking down the hall.
Well, I know your old boss. He now runs the Odyssey Station in San Francisco, and he's
I'm not lying.
He's a great programmer. He's a great programmer. But yeah, he's very quirky. Yeah. You're not lying.
I don't lie on this program, folks.
No, it's true.
There you go.
That's what gets us in trouble.
All right. Coming back, we'll find out what occurred today in music history, our morning mystery movie clip, and what is on tap for the Dawn Show 16 minutes Woo-hoo! From now. She might actually do the show cutting grass with yoga pants.
Yeah,
on.
Baby.
And Stalker would like it.
What am I, a creep? I'm like Elon Musk, which we never got to.
Sounded it a couple of minutes ago. Yeah, baby. Back after this.
How about a little magic, yoga pants or not? Because when it comes to your home, you know, trust is everything. And seriously, for 45 years now, Kitchen Magic, local company, local employer, they have built an impeccable reputation for transforming kitchens with such professionalism, such precision and care. From the custom cabinets, and everything's in-house, by the way. Like I say, these are highly skilled, highly trained, long-term employees. They make the custom cabinets, the countertops, the backsplashes, and those all-important storage solutions. They get the job done and fast, because in just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle, because after all, after 45 years, they have this down to a science. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. So just get your free in-home consultation. Go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
It is time to give it away with our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Liberals don't get Megan. She's a star, not because she thinks Hannah's white, but because she'll say it.
That's right. If you have courage in the spotlight, it's powerful to watch.
And she went up 30% that quarter.
That too. All audiences want is authenticity.
Exactly.
A liberal is somebody who wants to live in a future that he is too lazy or too arrogant to actually create.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Oh, yes. I thought I had this in a text, and now I can't find it.
Boat show tickets. Boat show tickets.
Oh, yeah, the Philadelphia Boat Show. See if I can memorize this at the PA Convention Center. And it's March 1st through the 9th. I think I've actually nailed that verbatim off the top of my head. Photographic memory. Caller 12, 855-839-1210.
March 14th through the 16th at the Expo Center in Oaks. Top tri-state dealers ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats, pontoon party boats, ski boats, bass boats, PWCs, and more. See phillyboatshow.com for details and tickets.
Yeah, March 1st through the 9th. Like
it's the
14th through the 16th, 1st through the 9th. It's in March, and you're going to love it. And it's free. 855-839-1210. Caller number 12.
You know, Cal, the show goes till 10 o'clock. You don't need to, like, check out at 9:45.
Actually, here it is. It's in bold font. You sent it to me at 9:38 a.m. yesterday.
There we go.
There it is. Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't text
over a day ago.
But anywho,
we're all staying till noon.
Today, February 25th, we celebrate the birthdays of Mike Peters from The Alarm, Brian Baker from Minor Threat. Hey, come on, it's my time. And Bad Religion and John Doe from X. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to George Harrison. We also lost Mark Hollis from Talk in 2019, and Roberta Flack yesterday at the age of 88. Singles include Follow You, Follow Me by Genesis in 78, Runaway by Bon Jovi in 84, and Sex and Candy by Marcy Playground in 97. Album include Rock Believer in 2022 and Love Drive in 79 by The Scorpions. Songs from Big Chair by Tears for Fears in 85, Peter Gabriel's debut in 77, Stiff Upper Lip by AC/DC in 2000, Billion Dollar Babies by Alice Cooper in 73, Big Life by Night Ranger in 87, and Vulgar Display of Power by Pantera in 1992. More Pantera news in a sec. Also in 95, Frank Sinatra sang before a live audience for the very last time. In 87, he guest starred on Magnum P.I. In 84, Van Halen's Jump was atop the singles chart. In 72, Led Zeppelin played their first New Zealand show. In 92, James Brown won a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Grammys. And in 2010, I love this story, police stormed the set of Megadeth's The Right to Go Insane video after the band used an M68A tank without informing authorities. But lastly, yesterday, Pantera with Amon Amarth announced a summer tour. The two local dates are July 25th in Hershey and July 31st in Holmdale. Pre-sale tickets go on sale today at noon, which is in about 2 hours. Am I going? Not sure, because I'm seeing Pantera in a couple months open for Metallica in Syracuse.
Wow.
For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Dilemmas.
Syracuse.
First world problems. There you go.
Phil Syracuse Lomquist. Because when Metallica is here in May, I will be at Indy for the 500. So there you go.
Are you going to work it all this summer?
Am I here every day?
You are.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
And you're staying afterwards, too.
Yes, I am.
You're all staying after class.
We are.
Dan is sick again, so I need all of you.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, where's
Greg and I are going to just talk.
I'm the brand manager of this radio station. Yeah. Why am I a board op?
Yeah. Because you like doing the morning show.
We're all just going to talk dirty for 2 hours.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Yeah,
I promise.
We're going to stick on YouTube. We're going to stay right here.
All right. So what do you got lined up, Dawn?
So hopefully we'll have Senator Dave McCormick and his great better half, Dina Powell McCormick. They have a new book out. It's pretty cool. And so we'll talk about their new book and what he was doing yesterday and what's going on today. Also, I believe this morning we might end up taking Trump, who's scheduled to sign more executive action this morning. So we got that going on. A lot of breaking news, a lot developing in all seriousness. But hopefully we can still have some time to have some fun and talk dirty.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. And my sources have told me that Dave McCormick and his wife are not separated by 24 years like Macron and Bridget.
No.
By the way, I'm doing a deep dive on that tonight, so I'll report back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Greg's going to do a deep dive on it. Nobody's home on his laptop. Racist history. All right. There you go.
Have a racing to 602 tomorrow morning.
Yes, indeed. All right. That'll do it for us. Everybody stay tuned for Dawn. She's up next tomorrow. It's a Wednesday, so that means Tony Bruno. Until then.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.